Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are cooking.
Brad, it's hot as fuck up here, man. What are we doing, Brad?
I don't know. We need ice beer. We need frosted mugs.
We need like those NBA games where you see the guys are done playing for the night, but they're sitting on the bench and they got the ice wrapped around their knees and, you know, ice buckets mm-hmm. for their feet. We need that.
I know, but
it's 90 degrees at night in Chicago. This never happens. It's never this fucking hot.
No.
Yeah.
It's early for it to be hot, but we're not here to talk about the weather.
Okay.
But we are in a. We're really, there's not a lot of ventilation, and the AC doesn't come up here, so it's rough. But we got a session IPA, and it's like hitting the fucking spot.
It's doing the job, man. This is Outside Voice, 4.8% from the good folks at Hopewell. Mm-hmm. You know, Hopewell flies under the radar. Every time I'm there, every time I drink their stuff, I'm always in. They always make me happy.
I know. I'm with Lil Buddy, missing from my life.
Hey, Lil Buddy.
I swung by Hopewell.
You're the one for me.
I was just looking for something for us to have. We haven't had Hopewell in a while. And this, I don't know, this caught my eye. And look at this. They have like custom cans. See this? Like they got little like.
Their cans are decorated. So it's your classic steel can with the waterproof label, just right. like everyone does. But their can has some sort of design
like macaroni,
on the can.
Like macaroni on it.
Yeah.
A little macaroni pan.
Little tire tread kind of thing going there.
They had to get that custom done. I've never seen anyone else with that.
A little some sprinkles, a little swizzle there on their can.
That's cool.
It's nice. Yeah.
But this session IPA, it's about 4.8%. Has a nice, like, I don't know, tangerine citrusy zip to it.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's exactly where you want to be on a day like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think we're going to crush all these because just to try to stay, to keep the body temperature down as best we can.
Shit is real out here right now, but very, very real.
But yeah, I swung by Hopewell as I was over in Logan Square getting drinks with friends. And so I stopped in there. I didn't grab a drink there, but I grabbed these. And then we went to a place called Welcome Back.
Okay. Is that the it's like a Wisconsin kind of... Dan, like fish fry kind of Wisconsin joint?
Oh, is it? It has like a huge patio with like lots of lawn chairs.
Okay.
It has a board where when you order food, it's a giant bingo board and they give you a bingo ball.
This is on Milwaukee by the Fury Spoon and the Whistler, right before you hit the Whale.
Yeah, it's right next door to the Whale.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen it. I haven't been.
Yeah. So I went there and I got a beer and I got a pint of Oberon. First Oberon of the year. I was like, all right, let's do it. This beer cost me $9 and then a dollar tip, so $10.
you bought a $10 Oberon, huh? That's that Logan. That's that Logan love right there, bud.
I felt like an idiot.
How much was the Manhattan? How much was the old fashioned?
I feel like the cocktails were in that like $12 to $15 range, but all the beer was about that price, and Oberon, I think, was only like $8 on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have like some tax that I've noticed other places throw onto this. Usually you didn't know all the tax was rolled into the price on the menu, and then you tip. So a $6 beer was probably really $5.38, and they rounded up for the tax.
It was less transparent.
Right.
Yeah.
So this place rolled the tax in after the $8, so then it got to $9, and then the tip. I was like, what?
Yeah, we said on the show before how breweries try not to undercut their retail partners. So sometimes you can go to a brewery and get a pour, and it's kind of close to the price you'd pay if you're at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 9 for Oberon. And just last week, we were saying how at Due Division, there were Goose Island pours for like $4 at some of these places.
Yeah.
And Oberon's a very big Oberon. Bell's is a pretty big brewery, so I'm kind of surprised at a $9 pour for their.
Mm-hmm. But Half Acre was like the same price.
Same price?
Yeah.
Are we just being cheap, or is it just... Is
I don't know. This 4-pack cost $12.
See, and that's what I'm saying. So you got a 12-pack at the source. You got a 4-pack at the source for $12.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a bar, and if you just want to try that same type of beer, regional beer, it's a $9 play.
Yeah, I didn't know how much maybe that this Outside Voice was at Hopewell if I wanted to try it. Maybe it was $9 there, but that would be ridiculous. But do you have a limit on what you're going to pay for a pint of beer?
For
an Oberon level, if it was a Daisy Cutter. Because you could go to a Sox Park or a Fire Game. It's like $10.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. We understand that. Prices are higher for that. Why am I paying ballpark prices?
Is that maybe that's what we're seeing? We're seeing local bars adopt more of a ballpark, you know, aesthetic, if you will, with regards to pricing.
But then what? Does the price of the game go up too?
I hope not, right? We've always lived in a world where, now we're speaking like macro, where, you know, the best beers in the world compared to the best wines in the world are relatively affordable. The best wines in the world are really expensive. Even though wine doesn't really get past like, you know, 14, 16%.
Yeah.
Right? Just because it's just more expensive the older it is or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, well, shit. Are we hitting that point now where regardless of the type of beer you get, like you might be looking at a $9, $10 play? Because that's like, that's the top 10 producer of beer in the country with Bell's. And this is one of their big seasonal releases. It's a, what is it, a wheat? Oberon's a wheat ale.
Right.
So it's $10 for the wheat ale now? That's what we're doing?
I guess. I think they had High Life or Bud Light on there for like $4 or $5. But you're telling me Oberon's twice as good as Bud Light?
It's interesting. It's kind of weird, yeah, too.
So do you have a price point that's like... feel like $10, I'm not going back there and getting a beer.
We're going to get the... we're looking at, like, how much is the margarita at this point?
Right.
Like, how much is the mojito? Right, we might just go with that. I mean, when you talk, it depends on where you're at. I mean, what mood you're in when you're there. Because I don't always want a cocktail. You know, so I think Oberon's great.
Yeah.
So, I might roll one, and then I find out it's $10. Am I going to run that back and get the two for the $20? No.
Right, but if it was $7, I might have got two.
Man, this really is the old man podcast. We drink fucking brown ales. We talk about all we do is go to Old Irving and Half Acre, and we're complaining about the price of fucking Oberon.
But I think you're right on the cocktail. I'm more likely to get a cocktail now when I go out because I know I can just go get beer and take it home and drink it half the price out. But I can't. I don't have all the stuff to make cocktails.
Yeah, I don't know how fucked up this is to say, but you might get the cocktail, and then if you want something else, you might just get the PBR for $4.
Right.
Or the shitty Lone Star, whatever the shitty macro beer is. You might just do that. High Life. And High Life's actually pretty good on, you know.
Sure,
to follow a cocktail of the other two I just named. Or, you know the best one of those macros that no one talks about? Bohemia, the dark Mexican lager.
Okay.
I think Modelo and Corona take a backseat. If you want to drink a macro lager,
yeah,
I think Bohemia on the dark lager side.
That's crazy. I feel, what's a 6-pack of Oberon? I remember when it used to be $9.99. There's no way it's $9.99 now. Maybe $12.99.
Supply chain issues, man. Supply
chain. Bars are going to have a supply issue, and you're going to have like sales on your beer. Man. Drink our kegs.
But that feels a little stiff. To your point, $10 for a pour of Oberon, which is a good beer.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty stiff.
Yeah. That was one of my stops this weekend, just kind of, or my stop yesterday.
It was Oberon just might be better than 3-1-2, let's just be honest.
Better than 3-1-2. But not better than 3-1-2 Shanty.
No. It is not better than 3-1-2 Shanty.
Okay. It was nice. Like, not having an Oberon, I don't know if I even had one last year, but it was nice. It felt maybe a little more refreshing than I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yeah.
I feel this heat.
Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Or something. We'll just keep drinking until we fucking pass out.
The other stop I made was, man, I keep forgetting.
Oh, man.
Sugar.
Oh, yeah. This is the brewery that's next door to Hackney's up in, like, Glenview or some shit, right?
Yeah.
What's it called, Brad?
Makushla.
Thank you.
Makushla.
Makushla.
I keep, like, I want to say Meshuggah.
Because it's not Makushla's not a word you use all the time.
Right. Stopped in there. We were just out in the burbs for a bit, and we decided to just, we were driving by. I was like, I think the spot's over here.
Yeah. And
sure enough. It was Monday, so it was warm, but they basically only have outdoor seating. They have like an indoor space, but the door's open. It's like a big window. It's just kind of like open air bar. It feels like the bar you might find in like Texas.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like in Austin.
Yeah.
That's true.
And there is a taco place like next door. So I think, yeah, we got chips and guac. And
they will deliver food to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is this your first time there?
Second time.
Okay. How are you feeling about your trip to Makushla? I feel like we're saying it, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
I like the beer better this time than I remembered last time. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure we talked about it in the podcast. This time, I was like, oh, these were really nice. I think I had the Session IPA.
Yeah.
And Maeve got a, I don't know, like a strawberry sour or a blueberry sour.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cheers to the suburbs, man. I think this shit can sometimes make life more interesting, right? To, you know, because we kind of been to all the breweries in the city. We definitely have not been to all the breweries in the suburbs.
No.
So I think, you know, the suburb life kind of makes shit interesting for us, you know, as we do our little travels and do our weekly show here.
It was nice. And their brewery that I don't think they package anything.
Yeah, I feel like it's a really small operation,
yeah.
Right? And it's like, yeah, like you said.
Buddy gets growler fills there all the time, but that's about it.
The old Makushla. And then there's the logo is like a little hand-drawn heart, and it's like, the fingers that make the heart. I feel like that's their logo.
And they're really not far from Bike Trail. If you were to bike there and get off at whatever road they're on, is that Wolf Road or...
I'm drawing a blank.
Bike trail is like right there, so it wouldn't be a bad bike ride.
Okay.
If you're looking for something to like get out of the city and, you know, do a decent ride.
That's a good call. Little destination, bike ride destination brewery. Yeah. Yeah, right on. Yeah, because then you can escape Occupy Chicago without going to, you know, Michigan.
Right, yeah.
You know. Right.
But those are my like two little quick stops this past week.
Right on.
How about you?
Man, cheers to 18th Street Brewery. I had a fancy bottle of whiskey I had to pick up.
Okay.
And I was putting it off, and I'm like, well, Sunday morning, it would make sense to go to get this bottle of whiskey. So 18th Street, the brewery is 7 years old, and the distillery is 4 years old already.
Okay.
I didn't realize that. So that's what drew me out there, was to pick up the bottle. But then I'm like, well, should I have to go to the brewery? So I went to 18th Street Brewery. They have a beer on with a crew from Salvador. Mm. Yeah, which was kind of interesting. I think Salvador is like in Central America.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had their 7th anniversary stout, which is a barrel-aged stout. Like a barrel-aged stout with cinnamon and vanilla, but that was tapped. So we had the non-barrel-aged version of that.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. I think they found, you know, this reminded me of our Solemn Oath visit as far as like the place opens at 11 and then by 12... whatever tribe goes to 18th Street was already there, right? And so, you know, we were at, we did the
Solemn
City Water Carnival at Solemn Oath. You know, it was the babies and dogs tribe, right?
And babies walking dogs, dogs walking babies.
You know, and they were all there pretty much when this joint opened. So when we were at 18th Street, it was the same thing, but it was all like, not newborn babies, but just like,
like toddlers?
Like, you know, I'd say like below 10. I say between like 4 and 10 year olds.
Oh, okay.
This place is crawling. So 18th Street is like this. Are they a metal brewery? They're inspired by Three Floyds. Let's start there.
Okay.
Right? As far as like the theme is like very dark, and a lot of the beers have references to like either metal or maybe like some devil inspired shit, right?
I haven't thought about 18th Street in like what they are.
Yeah. So it's a weird dynamic, and it's funny you say that because, you know, me and Shalonda actually used to live, our closest brewery, our neighborhood brewery was 18th Street. Okay. So we would drink it all the time. But then when we moved to Rogers Park, then we would drink it a lot less, right? Because, you know, it's not there. So we, like, same thing. We didn't think about it much. But then we're in this joint, and we're just like, man, this is a very weird dynamic. You know, there's all these 8-year-olds here. not drinking with their parents, you know. Metal's playing. And then, you know, there's Stouts and IPAs.
And then they have ramen. They still have ramen?
I didn't see the ramen.
They used to have that. They run like a ramen kick.
Yeah, they did have ramen for a second. Yeah. Okay. It's a weird collection of things down at 18th Street. And then it's not on 18th Street. Yeah. It's, you know, much like Ravinia is not in Ravinia. Or what else? There's another one. Printer's Row.
Yeah.
It's not in Printer's Row. It's not in Printer's Row. But to circle back, anyway, the beer was really good.
Okay.
I had a beer called Hydra. That was a beer with the Salvador crew. And then I tried this vanilla and cinnamon stout. That was also very good.
Oh, cool.
So cheers to those guys, man. Food, beer, proper destination, patio, distillery, and a bathroom, all the same building.
And a bathroom.
And a bathroom. That's a big deal. You know, so, yeah.
What was it? Was it $10 pints there?
It's a good, I don't, we'd have to look it up. I know, I would say the stouts, probably. The stout pour might have been 11.
Yeah.
But I think the, might have got you at 8 for the IPA.
I feel like 8's probably.
Yeah.
Feels like 8's the standard. I don't know.
That makes sense, right? Yeah. So I haven't been there forever. So cheers to them. And one more note, like it's easy to just have a brewery and then have a distillery next door and they might feel the exact same way. Mm-hmm. But this distillery is a whole different vibe.
Oh, really? Okay. Whole,
entirely different
vibe. I've never been to the distillery. I've only been to the...
It's interesting. Like just way brighter colors, way brighter like music, you know, and then like it's like a proper cocktail lounge, but it's very floral and very, I don't know, what's the word? Like very, I don't know, very, very like summertime in the South on like, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
Okay.
But just different, just totally different, you know, color-wise and music-wise from the brewery.
Nice, so, okay.
Just like an honest attempt to just be like two totally different things.
Yeah.
I think that's all I was trying to say.
All right.
Yeah.
So you made it out there. Did you go over to Three Floyds or anything else?
No, man, because the distillery said they were closed indefinitely. Oh. The distillery. And I'm like, well, shit, I knew the pub was closed, but damn, the distillery too?
Distillery too, yeah.
Right, because their distillery is... That distillery is very nice.
What are they doing over there?
I have no idea what's going on, man. I did see...
they have a new beer out, like a strawberry fruiter beer.
Do you see that? What? Behind us?
Oh, is it my watch?
Okay, sorry. Oh. Yeah, I think so.
I'm like, dude. Snipers.
I'm like, the snipers, man. Get duck. Everybody duck.
The heat's getting to...
Oh, man. They had... what do you call it? Oh, they expanded to like Minnesota and Wisconsin, their distillery. But the distillery's not open for visits, and then the pub's been closed since, you know, pre-pandemic, basically. Hmm. So, no, I didn't go to Three Floyds.
Damn, okay.
Yeah. So we were looking for post-game activities, and we saw that, oh, shit, the Hyde Park Summerfest is on the way back to beautiful Rogers Park. We got to pass all this shit, so we stopped.
Everything's on the way back.
Oh, everything. only thing not on the way back is Evanston.
Yeah.
So we stopped at High Park, man, and did the artist formerly known as the High Park Brew Fest, but they outgrew the brew part, and now it's the High Park Summer Fest.
Okay.
And it's right in the Midway Plaisance, which is basically where the World's Fair was, if you ever go down to High Park, right in the center of University of Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so this was actually really fucking cool. It was really fucking cool backdrop. I would say, you know, this is a two-day festival. If this festival gets to 3 days, this is basically Pitchfork at this point. Like it was that size. I think they were saying 7,000 on Saturday people, but then 16,000 people on Sunday.
What?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like really high profile music performances, and then the beer kind of plays the background. So it's actually like a beer garden at the very end of the Plaisance.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. So 23 breweries back there though.
Okay.
So I was chatting up Phase 3. Man, shout out to Eric, who used to work at Half Acre. Now he works at Phase 3. And I'm telling him, like, yo, I don't – listen, Phase 3 is – that's on our radar. We haven't interviewed Phase 3 yet. We need to make this happen. Mm. Phase 3 was there. Half Acre was there. Who else? We ended up chatting up Turner House, Moore, Funky Town. Yeah, those are the ones we ended up chatting up.
Oh, cool.
So Turner House, which was – remember, we talked about Turner House, and it had this random address in Bronzeville, and we looked it up, and we're like, I don't know if this is a brewery.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
yeah. And come to find out, they were actually brewing out of Alulu in Pilsen. Okay. And then they're also brewing out of Tennessee Brew Works. But now they're going to be brewing out of the event space of Sip and Savor, which is a coffee house in Bronzeville. So Sip and Savor has three locations. One of them was their event space. So that's going to be the brewery for Turner House. Yeah.
I feel like that's... I don't know. Everything in Hyde Park, Bronzeville is a whole other world that I'd
exactly
feel like I'm missing out on.
Yeah,
is Jolly Pumpkin still there?
I mean, it's, I think so, because the university wanted them there. They want the university wanted a pizzeria and a brewery there, so they're
has
definitely.
Has anyone said the word Jolly Pumpkin in like? Have you seen it pop up by anyone in the past like 3 years?
No one. No one. Are they even open? Their space oddly looks like a treehouse on the inside, which is kind of weird.
That food was pretty nice.
Yeah, I like the pizzas. I enjoyed the space. Yeah. So yeah, Hyde Park, like you said, man, Hyde Park is like, you know, it's, I don't know if it's like the Andersonville of the South, but it's got a university, where it's kind of like the self-contained kind of small town thing, but it's but it's not a small town. It's a neighborhood in the city. But when you're there, you feel like you're on Main Street. You feel like it's its own insulated thing.
Right.
Andersonville gives me the same kind of vibes when I'm there.
As like Wicker Park.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hyde Park, it feels like a different place, which is very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So this party, the Hyde Park Brew Fest, started at in a bank parking lot maybe like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then expanded to... The main drag in Hyde Park is 53rd Street, where all the businesses are.
Okay.
So then it basically expanded to a block party on 53rd. But then it got too big for the block. So then it moved to 59th, which is the Plaisance. And that's where the Obama Presidential Library is going to be at the end of 59th Street.
Is that also, there's like a building, I think it's a resident or like a... People live there. It's almost like this building in the middle of the park at the end of the street.
Like a high rise?
Like, no, it's not even that high. It's maybe like 10 floors. It's just like a random one building, almost like in the middle of the park at the end of the street. I don't even know how to describe this.
This is the spot. This is the 59th Street kind of, there's the buildings that look like Hogwarts buildings.
Oh, okay.
Like you get those kind of buildings.
Yeah.
But then you also get like, you know, hotels, and then you get the buildings you're describing. You know, it's kind of like... The middle of the university is 59th Street.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so.
And then that, like the, whatever the park is, like the area, it's like huge. It's like giant.
Man, and then like I had never been.
When you drove around, you're like, I don't know. I could see where the road is like way over there, but I can't get, like.
Right, so like imagine like the boulevard system, like, you know, Logan, or if you're out west, right? Like the boulevard system, you know, where it's like. Mm-hmm. Just big grass and shit in the middle and then homes on the sides, but like wider and then like deeper.
Yeah.
But it's the exact same kind of layout. So there's like this bowl in the middle, this big grass bowl. I've been there once. I took my kid ice skating there once.
Oh, cool.
But I've never been there for like a full-blown fucking four-block party.
Damn. Okay.
So that part was actually pretty cool.
Nice.
You know, it's like a couple notes about the Hyde Park Brewfest, man. Cheers to Haymarket. Haymarket was there. We hung out with them a lot. And they were saying how the big boys wouldn't let the little guys sell their merch at their stands. So all the craft beer is at the very end of this thing, at the end cap to the east.
Okay.
And then the stage is the end cap to the west. And then all the people party in the middle.
Okay.
And businesses and shit on the side. Oh, but anyway, big liquor and big beer were closer to the stage. So, Crown Royal, Ciroc, whoever the big beer was, Miller, all these fuckers were closer to the stage, and craft beer was regulated to the very end of this party in what was called the beer garden. So, the craft beer guys are trying to sell their merch and
segregation.
It was bullshit. It was bullshit, wasn't it? Right? Yeah, very very segregated scenario here. You know. And they wouldn't let them sell their merch. You know, they wouldn't let them sell their merch. So.
That's great. Okay.
That was a takeaway.
Okay. But a good time.
Ooh. Oh man, it was great. Yeah. It was great. If you ever been to Afropunk in Brooklyn, or if you ever been to like North Coast or some shit like that, where it's not like the premier festival, but it's kind of a niche music fest, it kind of felt like that.
Okay.
You know, because Pitchfork is the festival at Union Park, mm-hmm. but then North Coast, like I saw Snoop Dogg at North Coast,
right?
And it was one of the best fucking nights of my life, right? So it was kind of like more like not the premier fest, but like a secondary kind of underground fest in a big park.
Nice.
Cool. So it was cool.
Nice. You mentioned Andersonville. I forgot to say I did go over there for Midsummer Fest. Got my Glug slushies.
Oh man, you had the Glug slushies.
They
had
regular and peach.
Okay, so regular is going to be your dark wine.
Right.
Okay.
More Christmas time in a glass.
Yeah.
And then peach was a little more summer. It was good. Prefer the other one.
Oh, the OG.
I only did one because that place, it was a mess. Like, so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, good time, though. We did dip in somewhere, like, because all the liquor stores, you can just, if there's a liquor store on Clark there, you could just go in and take the beer out.
There was a spot
selling cans of Chug Life for $4. So we would just dip in there and be like, all right, a couple Chug Life.
You hear those bells?
Yeah, right. And so we did that a couple times. Got right some up. Chug Life and just...
That's a good call.
Yeah. Rolled that way. But you could have brought your own beer into these. I think they stopped like kind of enforcing too much of the neighborhood festivals, like people bringing in their own drinks because... That's just gonna happen. So we could just brought stuff from home.
Yeah.
Too. But it was a good time.
Glug, yeah.
Glug. Living that glug life.
I want the glug slushy. Yeah. Because if you have it, you know, because I've had the glug slushy on the patio and at Simon's, but it's not the same as having it in the middle of the street with this fucking fest.
Yeah.
And so that's when you want to have it. This, you know, glug slushy.
But you can get it. Yeah. It's on. It's in the machines now, so you can go there and go for it.
One, you're feeling good. Two, you need to stop, but you don't want to. Three is all bets are off.
Good luck getting home. Nice. Not a bad week.
No.
Anything coming up? Or we got a couple news stories.
Yeah, man. There's something going on this weekend, man. Maybe it's just a music fest. But Lyrical Lemonade is this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's at Douglas Park.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I could have had a ticket for that because I had the NFT for a minute.
I'm curious. I saw, I was watching the highlights at like 2 a.m. I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, that is on and cracking at this fucking party, man.
So I did have the NFT for a minute, but I sold it. Because I was like, well, I kind of want to go to this fest because if you had the NFT, you could go to the next three festivals, like VIP access.
Oh, well, shit. Why did you sell it?
I didn't think I would probably go to the fest, and it was like one ticket. Like,
VIP? Oh, yeah. So you're going VIP, but then it's solo VIP.
By myself. So
I hear that.
I would have to buy another one. It seemed slightly worth it, but then at the same time, it's probably good I sold it in the state of everything.
Okay. So. Yeah, yeah. Things are rapidly changing. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, that's okay. Right. That's this weekend.
Yeah, but that's not beer. What is beer? What do we talk about?
Winer is celebrating 6 years.
Oh, shit. Cheers to Winer.
That's awesome for that.
They were at Hyde Park Brew Fest.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we talked about on the show, like, over springtime went to Winer, and, like, their pizza is great. You can easily drive there and park, like it's not too crazy, and
yeah.
I don't know, just nice like spot to hang out. They do have, I think you can sit outside. They have like sort of like a patio sidewalk seating sometimes. I think you can take a drink in a plastic cup and go outside.
Yeah, and I think just the plant on its own is just a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could do the 1-2-step with Mars if you want, because that's not too far from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you can hit up the shit in Pilsen, too, if you're feeling frisky.
So, yeah. Cheers to Winer for that.
Yeah.
What's the other story we saw? That AB is, we'll always talk about Goose Island and AB on here at some point. They are pulling out as the official or the exclusive beer sponsor. Beer sponsor or alcohol sponsor?
They're dropping rights as exclusive alcohol beverage marketer during the Super Bowl for the next year.
Okay.
So that's been them since 1989, that position.
Right. So does this open? I don't necessarily know if this opens it up to be other beer sponsors or it's just other alcohol sponsors. Like, I think it's a Diageo as the spirits.
And Gallo is the official wine sponsor. So what it sounds like is like, and then Pepsi is making a change too as an exclusive sponsor, like you were saying.
They were a sponsor of the halftime show, so that's up for grabs now.
Yeah, so it sounds like the Super Bowl is offering other spots to other producers, and that's affecting the exclusive nature of your Pepsis and your ABs.
Right, so they're probably like, well, that's not worth it. If we aren't in the front of everybody, we don't see the value in this.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it comes on the heels of them I wouldn't say they lost the bid at Sox Park, but I think Miller kind of overbid to be the sponsor there. And then an AB subsidiary in Goose Island pulled out of Sox Park when they were the main beer there.
Right. Makes me wonder if they see something or if the value of these like exclusive spots, they're like, we're not getting anyone to drink our beer after. We can get them to drink all the Anheuser-Busch while they're at the Super Bowl, but they're not going to go home and buy our product anymore.
It's interesting that this is less valuable to them because we've always kind of jokingly considered them, well, they're a marketing company that sells beer, right? Because they spend, well, shit, in addition to the Super Bowl thing, you know, the only beer you can drink at the World Series, if you're not drinking champagne, the only beer you can drink is a Budweiser product.
Okay.
You know, in the World Series. So he's kind of positioned themselves to be these guys that fucking, you know, these guys are the only beer you can have at big events.
Right.
So a lot of marketing all the time. So they're not valuing marketing like they once did, it sounds like.
That's what I think, yeah.
That's interesting.
And Pepsi must see probably no benefit. You're not like, oh, this halftime show with Snoop Dogg and Kendrick.
Man, that was good.
With Pepsi, did it make you buy Pepsi? No, it probably made you listen to some Kendrick again and get hyped for the new album, but...
Yeah, we're shifting the importance of what it means to be a sponsored on really big, exclusive sponsor on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the trickle down is from that. Yeah. It's interesting. I'd like to just follow this and just kind of read more about it. Because I didn't know about this. Brad brought up in the pre-show, and I'm like, man, that's kind of a marketing company that sells beer is pulling out of the biggest stage as the exclusive guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal. And I wonder, what it really means. I don't know what it means just yet, but I'd like to know more.
I feel like it must mean that no one care. The marketing doesn't carry through. It's almost like a car marketing where seeing a Nissan ad doesn't make you necessarily go buy a Nissan, but when you're time to buy a car, you might buy a Nissan. So by seeing Budweiser all the time, when you go to the store, you might be, but there's too many options, right?
We acknowledge that these are cool ads, but it ain't translating to dollars for the shit they sell.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if you're like buying, you know, we pretty much exclusively buy craft beer besides maybe every now and then picking up things, but you're not picking up those things like a Bud Light 12 pack for like maybe a party. You might just be like, you don't care, so you just grab whatever.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're not kind of blinded by the, you know, we understand how it all works, so we just kind of view the ad as an ad, and we just leave we don't react to it outside of it just being an ad.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, cheers to Maplewood. I saw that they were on the cover of a beer periodical recently, so... I just want to shout them out. I really like the Maple Room. This crew is called the Beer and Brewing Industry Guide. is nice. What it's called. And Maplewood's on the cover. Look at them. There's a Maplewood boys right there on the cover.
Nice. That makes me think that they're moving into that goose spot.
That's the same right? Shit I thought too. Yeah. Oh, because the story is all about demand is feeding rapid growth for the Chicago brewery. But the team is taking cautious approach to capital expansion.
Man, we're going to be right on this. And I feel like we were right on something else and broke a story.
You know what it was?
No one's believing in us. No one's listening. We're here breaking news.
We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep on pushing. Because we were on location when Goose said they were pulling out of Sox Park.
Yeah, and we told people here before Tribune talked about it.
On location, Revolution said, hey, Sox doesn't want us using their logo, so fuck them. We're an official Chicago Fire bar. We're on location when these things happen. You know, you heard it here first. You know, so, you know, we're not going to toot our horn, but, you know.
But we are.
But beep, you know, beep, you know.
Speaking of Anheuser-Busch and Goose Island, saw that there was some labels from the TTB leaked of variants, possibly. But
yes.
I feel like Goose Island told us one time, or someone told us that.
Might have been Jacobs.
They submit labels.
As a spin move, right?
Right.
Yeah.
As stuff that they could possibly do, but to kind of just throw people off a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still doing that. And I don't remember what this one was. I think Chicago Beer or one of the.
Who's big on the labels is Guys Drinking Beer.
Oh, Guys Drinking Beer.
Yeah. They're really big. TTB.
So, yeah, if you wanted to pull up the
TTB one. TTB Watch is all. They're all about the TTB
Watch.
Yeah.
So they pulled up one that had something about natural flavors.
Which I'm still not clear on what the fuck that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers to. What's his name? Carl Clockers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's got some good hair, this fucking Carl Clockers. And he's got that very, I'm Carl Clockers voice. Right? He has a very. Oh, yeah. Here it is right here. So, email subscriber saw this yesterday. Oh, Goose Island Biscotti Stout. I don't know why that's so funny. A stout in barrels with cocoa nibs, toasted almonds, anise seed, and natural flavor.
Right. Yeah. Anise seed. Yeah.
Anus.
No.
That's anise?
I think it's anise.
It's anise? Yeah. It might be anus.
I think it's anise.
Hey, so, but yeah, that, for example, that's one of the labels that they talked about. But yeah, I've always thought the same thing about Goose. Like, sure, they got to submit the real labels, but then they're also sending a bunch of labels because they don't want you to guess what the fuck they're really doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But are they? Like, we were told that.
Biscotti's not going to be real.
I don't know.
Come on.
Probably not. Like, you have to spend money, right? I'm sure, like, the money doesn't matter to Goose, in a sense, because it's probably, like, $150 to, like, get a label approved or something. I feel like that's probably.
Okay.
I threw that number out of nowhere, but sure. I feel like that's.
Nothing crazy to add, you know, put in a submit label.
But it's got to. It has to cost money, otherwise everyone would submit labels nonstop.
It's probably a nominal amount.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So, is Goose Island just being like, yeah, let's throw this in there and see what people think?
Yeah, I think so. They have to. All
right.
I think they have to. Because if you just submit the ones you're releasing, now you just broke the fucking story. Right?
Right.
So.
All right. Yeah. I think that's our little bit of news. Should we wrap up here and get out of this room?
Yes, Brad, we should. Yeah, we should.
So, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, ChicagoBeerPass.com. Episodes get posted there. And we'll be back next week if we survive the heat. Take care.
Cheers.